This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
That time of year, brackets filled out, not on this show yet. We're going to do that in the next hour. And games ready to begin at 12:15 today. We've got coverage of the NCAA tournament, the radio calls going from region to region all day today, all day tomorrow, all weekend long, all tournament long. This is your home for the NCAA tournament and for Maryland basketball, as long as they are in it, the Team 980. Good morning, everybody. Denton is here. I am here. We're going to do brackets. I've got day one, if you will, round one, smell test picks to get to. There was some Deebo Samuel news from yesterday that we will touch on. We are in for just an hour because the Westwood One coverage of the NCAA tournament starts with a lot of pregame at 11 a.m. So we are on for an hour today and an hour tomorrow. And then I would guess, right, that the rest of the day, that Chris and Craig have the rest of the day off. They're not doing their shows, correct?
Yeah, they get vacation.
Yeah, they get 2 days off. Yeah, and look, doing an hour? Oh, my God. Tommy and I, you know, did a show forever, The Sports Fix. We did a show for 8-plus years together and enjoyed it, and I still enjoy having Tommy on the podcast every day. In fact, we just recorded earlier this morning the show for today. We only did 2 hours. We did 12 to 2 every day. Do you know how easy 2 hours, once you've done this, you know, you've done this, you know, I'm not talking to just a producer. Denton is a show host. He's a big-time SiriusXM show host. 2 hours, especially if you're not solo, is nothing. Nothing. And we did 2 hours for like 8 years. We had several two-hour shows. Coach Thompson's show was 2 hours. Tony's show was 2 hours. And then the only three-hour show was Zabe and Andy, the sports reporters, was 3 hours, 4 to 7 every day. Crazy. Cooley and I did 4 hours every day. The Junkies do 4 hours every day. All the shows on 106.7 do 4 hours, right? All of the, I'm correct in saying that, right? I know the Junkies are 4 hours. Every other show is 4 hours as well, correct?
Well, except for Grant and Danny, who's 4.5.
4.5. There you go. An hour today, it will fly by. We're going to have to motor through the brackets because we've got a lot to do there. I want to start the show with a lot of rumors swirling for you Terp fans about Kevin Willard to Villanova. That really picked up steam late yesterday and last night. There isn't, Denton, I don't think, a truly credible source on this. There's just a lot of people out there that cover college basketball that are talking about Kevin Willard as the top target for Villanova, or, you know, one of the top two or three targets. But really, you know, they've honed in on Willard as kind of the leading candidate to take over for Kyle Neptune, the gentleman who replaced Jay Wright at Villanova and did not have much success. Hard to follow a legend like Jay Wright. And Maryland fans are in a bit of a tizzy. It's funny because just a few months ago, I mean, they were killing Kevin Willard. Couldn't win on the road, can't win any close games. The first year was a fluke, you know, winning a bunch of games, going to the tournament, winning a game in the tournament. Last year, you know, was a, you know, a losing season. I mean, Maryland has not had many of those at all over the years. Even when they haven't made the tournament, typically they've had a winning record over the course of, you know, kind of the lifetime of Maryland being a big-time basketball program. But I would say the following. Number one, I'll start with, I'm not going to bury the lead. This is not a report. I don't have any information on this. I think that Kevin Willard stays at Maryland. And I think Kevin Willard, if this is the case, has every right to do it. This happens all the time, this time of year, is potentially in position to kind of leverage Villanova's interest into, you know, more security and more money to stay at Maryland off of a season in which the Terps won 25 games and finished second in the Big Ten and finished ranked 11th in the country and are a four seed in the West region and are, you know, certainly a trendy pick or a favored team to get to the Sweet 16. And some believe are Final Four capable this year. That is my prediction, is that Kevin Willard stays at Maryland. Why do I predict that? Well, there are a couple of things that would buck up against that. And number one is Villanova's got a ton of money. Not every school does, and Maryland's, I think, you know, bottom third Big Ten NIL money, or, you know, bottom half, something like that. Villanova has, they're flush, apparently, with cash to pay a coach and then to get players through the NIL avenue. And Villanova's got great tradition. Jay Wright won multiple national championships there. Raleigh Massimino won a national championship at Villanova in 1985 with one of the all-time great, you know, championship game upsets over Georgetown in Lexington, Kentucky. Villanova's got great tradition. They are not a blue blood. I have, you know, many Villanova friends. One of my oldest, closest friends went to Villanova, and during college when I was at Maryland and he was at Villanova, I was up there a bunch, usually to pick him up on the way to Atlantic City. If I'm being truthful, I've got friends now that are big Villanova guys, and, you know, they sort of view themselves and fancy themselves to be a part of a blue blood program. Like Villanova entered the world of Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Duke. No, they didn't. They won a couple of national championships, and they are definitely in, were with Jay Wright, you know, at or near the top of that second tier of programs. There's no doubt a few years ago that was the case. But Villanova's in the Big East. And the Big East, who the hell knows what it's going to look like a few years from now? Maryland's in the Big Ten. Everybody knows that the Big Ten will be around. The Big Ten and the SEC rule college athletics now. And I guess to a lesser extent, the Big 12. But the SEC and the Big 10 aren't going anywhere. They may grow, and they probably will grow to a certain degree. Maryland being in the Big 10, and it's taken me a while to come around on this, is incredibly healthy for their athletic program. By the way, for the school in general, it's been very healthy. You know, I don't think that they made that decision back in 2011 or 2012 when they, you know, very, without much transparency, they decided to sneak off to the Big Ten. That really pissed a lot of the ACC people off, and even a lot of Maryland people. And look, Maryland's basketball program and football program have not really been exactly the same as they were in the ACC. And that was very predictable because of the breaking of all of the traditions and rivalries, etc. But in terms of where they are financially, they are in a great spot. You know, now, they are one of the Big Ten schools that their alums and their fans and their students, they prefer basketball to football. It's, you know, one of the big differences between Maryland and a lot of other Big Ten and SEC schools. There are a few of them. Kentucky's that way in the SEC. Certainly in the Big Ten, Indiana would be another basketball-first school. But its health is, you know, in terms of where it's going to be, is solid. And Villanova in the Big East isn't. I would also just argue flatly that Maryland in many ways is at least equal, even if they were in similar leagues, as a job to Villanova. Maryland's got tremendous, tremendous tradition. They have tremendous facilities. They are in the midst of, you know, building a brand new solo standalone practice facility for basketball. They've got the most fertile recruiting ground, which, by the way, Villanova's tapped into over the years. Jay Wright did a phenomenal job of tapping into the DMV for players. See Chris Jenkins and the game-winning shot over North Carolina to win the national championship, one of their two under Jay Wright. But I don't think Villanova's like this much better job than Maryland. What does differentiate Villanova and Maryland right now, at least according to the people that I've talked to, is Villanova can really pay for the coach and for players. And probably at a level that maybe Maryland can't match right now. I don't know. But my prediction is that Kevin Willard stays at Maryland. And, I want that. I think Kevin's an outstanding coach. I thought Mark Turgeon was an outstanding coach. I know Mark Turgeon was an outstanding coach. Maryland fans hate that. And I love the, you know, revisionist history on his time here. You know, especially when Maryland got ranked, you know, in the top 15 this year. I can't tell you how many, tweets I got. Your boy Turge never had us in the top 15. Yeah, only about 15 times they were in the top 15, including ranked as number two multiple times. But revisionist history when it comes to Turgeon. Kevin's an outstanding coach, and he's doing a great job. And I hope that he likes it here. I hope he likes the job. You know, I'm sure just like a lot of people there, Gary got booed off the floor his final four season by this fan base. They lost to Florida State at home, Denton, in 2001. It was a January game. He got booed off the floor, and they went to the Final Four later that year. So it's, you know, a demanding fan base for sure, but it's a passionate one, and you certainly can win the national championship at Maryland, even though they haven't been a national championship contender for a while now. This year, they are good enough. God forbid, though, he lose in the first round to Grand Canyon. That would not be good. Do you have a thought? I think he stays at Maryland. What do you think?
I think he stays as well. It feels like moving to the Big East would be, at best, a lateral step with the way that college athletics is, the way that it's moving.
I think so, too. I hope so. It would be a bit of a blow for Maryland to lose Kevin Willard. And I hate the fact that this stuff goes on right now. You know, Will Wade, the cheater at LSU, caught on tape, coaching at McNeese State, has already taken the NC State job. And he's got a first-round game coming up, in the NCAA tournament. Is that game today? That game's today against Clemson, right? I think it's today.
McNeese, yeah, I believe so.
And he's going to coach it, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, the portal basically opens up in a few weeks, which is why they're, you know, the teams with openings are trying to get this stuff nailed down. They should really change some of the dates for things like, you know, when you can hire, when you can commit, when you can accept, and when the portal opens, so that we can get through the only portion of the calendar that casual sports fans care about, which are the games that really start today. I did watch last night. Xavier was impressive coming back against Texas. The SEC, the unbelievable 14-team SEC, 0-1 in the tournament. Xavier was really good. Look, Sean Miller, another guy that has had a sketchy past, to say the least, as a coach, can coach, flat-out coach. You know, when Gary retired, Sean Miller was the number one target, the number one candidate. And he was apparently all in on taking the gig until he found out that Maryland didn't offer the opportunity to for academic exceptions. I think they had one academic exception, and at Arizona he had several, and he wanted multiple academic exceptions. And the AD at the time said no. Kevin Anderson said no, and apparently that ended what was close to a deal being consummated between Sean Miller and the Terps when Gary retired. He can coach, though, and he's got Xavier into the first round and out of the first four. And as long as we're talking about last night, what a blow, man, AU had early in that game, losing their best player, Matt Rogers, to an injury. This kid's a five-year player. We had Dwayne Simpkins on the show on Monday. He was talking about how good Matt Rogers has been, you know, for the program. He's, you know, been their leading scorer this year, averaging, you know, 17 a game. He gets hurt early in that game, and AU fought like hell. They got it, you know, to within striking distance a few times in the second half, but they ended up losing to Mount St. Mary's 83-72 in Dayton. So their season comes to an end. That's tough, man. This kid's waited 5 years, dreamed of the opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament. 5 years, all in the same spot, American University. You know, last 3 years has averaged 14, 16, and 17. And he gets there, and a few minutes into the game, he's injured. Tough break. I hope he recovers and he gets healthy. Dwayne Simpkins did a great job at AU this year. And in watching the way they fought without Rogers, I think if he were healthy for last night's game, I think AU probably wins that game and goes on to face Duke. All right. There's some Deebo Samuel news. We'll get to that, and then we will get to our brackets, and I've got smell test picks for today's first-round games as well. You're listening to The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're getting to it early today because we've got an hour and we've got brackets to get to. I've got some smell test picks to dole out. We'll talk about The game of the day for each of us, the game we're most interested in watching today. But Denton, what do you got news-wise?
So we got a little bit of breaking news. The Commanders, until today, had the biggest record in terms of sale price for a franchise in really the world, I think, but definitely in American sports, it's $6.05 billion. Well, that was just broken by the Boston Celtics that sold for $6.1 billion. An NBA team, they're being purchased by Bill Chisholm, who's a managing partner at Symphony Technology Group.
Yeah, that's Bill Chisholm, right?
Correct. Yeah,
it's a huge investment firm, I think, that he what was the price? 6.1?
$6.1 billion.
And ours was 6 point what?
$6.05 billion.
$6.05. Okay. The Celtics. I mean, what was the last big NBA sale was the Michigan State kid, Ishbia, that bought the Suns for, what, $4 billion? Was that the biggest NBA sale before this one?
Yeah, that was the biggest NBA sale. I know the Timberwolves are in the process of being sold, but I don't know that I've seen a price on that.
Oh, that they're not going to. They're not going to sell.
They're not hitting $6 billion. No, there's a few, like three, four franchises, Boston, L.A., New York, and Golden State that could sell for this price.
Right. Okay. What else?
Debo Samuel.
Have you watched, real quickly, have you watched any of that Celtics documentary that Bill Simmons, I guess, has produced?
No. I didn't even know there was a Celtics documentary he was producing.
Yeah, I'm pulling up to see the name. I just happened to have stumbled on it. It's called Celtic City. It's on HBO, and I watched the majority of, I think, the first episode. It was really good. I mean, I missed like the first 10 minutes and then got sucked in and watched the rest of it. I don't know how many episodes there are. Mondays at 9, three episodes. So I watched the first episode. It was excellent. Very well done. Very well done. I would recommend it. All right, what else?
I'll have to take a look at it. News for the Commanders yesterday, they guaranteed $17 million of Debo Samuel's salary this year. His previous base salary of $16.6 million was not guaranteed, so guaranteed his salary this year, and then another $3 million available in incentives based on his performance in 2025.
Yeah, look, I had a lot of people reaching out to me saying, I thought you said they weren't going to extend him. They didn't extend him. This actually guarantees that they're not going to extend him. Like, the big takeaway from what they did yesterday is that the team is not going to give Debo Samuel, as expected. I think most people believe this. I'm not saying that we were the only ones that said this. I think almost anybody that was following this knew that Washington wanted Debo Samuel to play 2025 in a contract year. And, you know, reworking what's left on his deal or even adding some incentives is almost, you know, saying we're not going to extend him. Again, I think that was kind of a no-brainer. What they did here is they essentially took what was his salary, base salary for 2025, which he was going to get if he played 17 games. And let's face it, there wasn't much of a chance that they were going to release him or trade him again. And what they did is they guaranteed $17 million of the $17.6 million that he would have earned over 17 games. They just guaranteed it because none of the $17.6 was guaranteed. And then on top of it, they added another incentives. You know, these are things that have to get earned out. I don't know what the incentives were. I don't think they were spelled out in the reporting. But another $3 million in incentives, which by definition means he's got to earn those. So, yeah, they just... This closes the door on any possibility that he would get a contract extension before the season started or even during the season. And it just puts him into a position where he's got even more to play for in 2025. But this is a one-year deal with Debo Samuel. Go out and play great. And, you know, you will create an incredible market for yourself, which hopefully we will be able to compete in the offseason of 2026, if we want you to come back. But we think you can add something with the added incentive of it being a contract year. Now we've added another $3 million worth of incentives. We think you can help us get to a game further than we got last year. So this was fine. This was not really massive news. This had nothing to do with them doing anything to, you know, give him more, you know, comfort beyond next year. There's nothing beyond next year. All right, what else?
I am glad, though, this organization now seems to be like, we're going to reward you, guaranteeing it, and then putting the $3 million of incentives, I think, was a strong move. Two basketball games last night. We talked about them briefly. Mount St. Mary's gets the win over American, 83-72. Xavier beat Texas, 86-80. Those two teams are going to play on Friday. We get the first slate of NCAA games today.
Sean Miller, by the way, has never been to a Final Four. Am I right about that? No matter where he's coached.
You are. I think his last like real good year prior to getting rocked by wiretaps was when DeAndre Ayton got, I think they lost to Buffalo, was it? When they were I don't know if they were 3-14 or 4-13, but they had DeAndre Ayton who went number one overall and they got rocked early in the
tournament. In his first stint at Xavier, he got to the Elite Eight. He got to a Sweet 16 and he got to an Elite Eight. At Arizona, he got to the Elite Eight three times and lost all three of those Elite Eight games. And at Xavier here in his second stint, he made the Sweet 16 in 23, and now he's into, you know, the first round in 25. He's a very good coach, but I actually think like with a guy like Sean Miller, he's had the talent to win national championships, plural. He certainly had it at Arizona. I mean, I'm going to guess that they were a one or a two seed at least three or four times, right?
I would assume so. If not, definitely a three seed. I don't know that they were ever a one seed.
Let's see what his... So in 2014, 2015... they were 34-4, and they lost in the Elite Eight. That means they went into the tournament at 32-3. They had to be a one seed that year, right? Had to be.
Yeah, that would make sense.
They were the number two team in the country.
Yeah, they're the number two team in the country. That final year, though, not his final year, but the final year where he got to the NCAA tournament where they lost in round one was embarrassing. Because DeAndre just couldn't. He just couldn't do anything.
So I think in back-to-back years, actually, I'm gonna tell you right now what they were seeded. They were a one seed in the 2014 tournament. They were a two seed in the 2015 tournament. I'm not going to sit here and go through all of them, but those were the two best record seasons he had. All right, anything else?
That's all we got news-wise. Slow day, but we got a lot of college basketball to discuss.
All right, I'm going to get to my smell test picks for day one. We will fill out brackets when we come back, and we'll give you the game today that we are most looking forward to watching of the 16 first-round games today. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app. Times are tough right now, but one of the best investments you can make is in home improvements, especially ones that will increase value and save you money in the long run. What would I recommend? How about new windows from Window Nation? Right now, get two windows free for every two you buy with no money down, no payments, no interest for two full years. Plus, you can get new windows installed in one day and not pay anything until the year 2027. Imagine what you can do with all of that extra money in your pocket. Window Nation sells some of the best windows you can buy at a fraction of the price of the expensive name brands, and often outlast and outperform them too. Plus, they're guaranteed for life. Hurry, the offer ends soon. Don't miss out on your chance to take advantage of the buy two, get two free and pay nothing until the year 2027 offer. Schedule your fast, free estimate right now at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. All right, I'm going to be honest with you. I think I've been doing the smell test for the NCAA tournament for, I think, 6 years. Several of you, when I mentioned this the other day, told me that I've definitely won more than I've lost. And I feel like that is true, but I have not documented it. I know what I did last year. I was 13-13 last year. And I'm pretty sure the year before Denton, I was on fire. And that it was significantly, I think it was something like 17-7 or something like that for the tournament. That could have been three years ago. But I think in the 6 or 7 years I've been doing smell test picks this time of year, I think it's fair to say, without having any documentation, I've won more games than I've lost. With that said, tread lightly. For entertainment purposes only. All right, what's interesting about the first round, and we had Patrick Everson on from Vegas Insider yesterday, and he said the same thing, and I totally agree with him. This is one of the events in which the public loves underdogs, especially early in the tournament. They are picking the big upsets because they always happen, and they're betting a lot of underdogs. And so, believe it or not, a lot of the favorites are anti-public sides today. But my first selection is not a favorite. It's the first game of the day. Creighton against Louisville. Louisville's laying 3. They're playing a virtual home game in Lexington against a Creighton team that's got size, that's got shooting, is well coached. I'll take Creighton plus the 3. There is overwhelming action on Louisville, and there is some sharp money on Creighton. Creighton plus 3 is the first play in the first game of the day. The second game of the day, I've got 2. Purdue is an anti-public favorite against High Point. The public, for some reason, has fallen in love with High Point, and I'll tell you, the school itself is beautiful. Maybe not the surrounding area, no offense, but the school itself is spectacular. I'm going to lay the 7.5 with Purdue as an anti-public favorite. Moving down the board, VCU is another dog that is anti-public today. People do like BYU laying. Patrick kind of disagreed, but the information I have is that a lot of shops are going to need VCU today. I'll take VCU plus the 3. And then Kansas is laying 5 against Arkansas. Arkansas is one of the most played teams of the day. Calipari, the SEC. Kansas really struggled this year. That line almost seems wrong. I don't know why Kansas is a 5-point favorite, but I'm going to guess that they know something out in Vegas. I'll take Kansas and lay the 5. A huge public play today in terms of an upset pick, an underdog, is Drake getting 6 against Missouri. I'll take Missouri in that one. And then another big underdog is Yale getting 7.5 against A&M. I'll take the other side. For those of you unfamiliar, I am an anti-public contrarian better, and that's what you've gotten from me here. 6 picks on opening day. Creighton plus 3, Purdue minus 7.5, Missouri minus 6, Kansas minus 5, VCU plus 3, and Texas A&M minus 7.5. Tomorrow I'll give out plays as well. So good luck with those. I have already played them. And be careful with this Creighton. If you can get it at 3 right now, play it at 3 right now. Because I think there's going to be a ton of sharp money that comes in here over the next hour or so on Creighton, on the Blue Jays. They've been a good tournament team, man. McDermott's done a good job in the tournament with them. What is his tournament record? Do we know?
I think it's positive, because I think he's been to at least one Elite Eight.
Last year, right? Or was it the year before?
It might have been the year before.
He's a good
tournament coach, though.
He was in the Sweet 16 last year, the Elite Eight the year before that. 3 of the last 4 years, he's been in the Sweet 16 twice in the Elite Eight. Not bad.
Not bad.
All right, you ready to do brackets?
Let's do some damn brackets.
You know, this isn't my favorite thing to do, but I know people do it. it's, you know, it's so random the way this tournament works. All right, we're going to do region by region, first round games. We will give out our lower seeded teams over higher seeded teams. So let's start. Where do you want to start? In the South?
Yeah, let's start with the South, where number one ranked Auburn is.
All right. I've got Creighton a 9 over 8, which I just told you I'm betting them. And I have New Mexico, Richard Pitino's team, a 10 over Marquette, a 7. Those are the two lower seeded over higher seeded teams I have in the South first round. What do you have?
So I got 3. I hate one of them, but I picked it anyway. I got Creighton, as you just mentioned. They are not the one that I hate. I hate that I have fallen into the UC San Diego hype over Michigan, but I got UC San Diego. It feels like everyone and their mother is on UC San Diego. I think their mascot is the Triton. I think it's kind of cool. And I told you I was going to do this as soon as we got the bracket. I got UNC over Ole Miss. I think because of the outrage that UNC is going to make it to at least the first weekend. So I got UNC.
Michigan was almost a smell test pick because everybody seems to love UCSD. Everybody's on but there was actually some sharp money on UCSD as well. All right, we go to the second round. We'll just talk about the teams that we have in the Sweet 16. This is where I have my biggest upset, I guess you could call it, of the tournament. I've got Creighton upsetting Auburn. You know, for me, that's the SEC team that I have not liked. I have not thought that they are overwhelmingly dominant like, you know, Florida, like Duke, like Houston, the other three number ones. I see Auburn getting taken out. They play a style that is vulnerable. We've seen them lose, what, 3 of their last 4 games or 3 of their last 5, whatever it is. I've got Creighton beating Auburn. I've got A&M over Michigan. I've got Ole Miss upsetting Iowa State and getting to a Sweet 16 matchup against Michigan State. So my Sweet 16 in the South is Creighton, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Michigan State.
I have Creighton, Texas A&M, North Carolina, Michigan State. So we both have Creighton.
Would not surprise me if Beard does a good job with Ole Miss in this tournament. All right, for me, it's A&M, Michigan State in the Elite Eight, a 2 against a 4, and I've got Michigan State going to the Final Four.
I have Michigan State to the Final Four. I just have them beating Creighton, so a 2 versus a 9.
I could see that.
Big on the Blue
Creighton,
Jays.
Yeah, the Creighton-Texas A&M game was a tough call for me. All right, so we both have Michigan State in the Final Four. Let's go to the East, where Duke is the number one seed. You give your lower seededs over higher seededs first.
So I got Baylor, who's a 9, over Mississippi State, who is an 8. You bet your ass I got Liberty, who's a 12, over Oregon, who is a 5. Got to rep my squad. I got VCU, the 11, over BYU, a 6. And those are it. So those are where my upsets in the first round stop.
I was looking at your Liberty squad and trying to figure out whether or not they could pull something off against Oregon. You know, I think that's the last game of the first round.
I know. I hate it.
It's like a 10:30 start on Friday night or something like that.
I got to drink coffee at like 6 p.m. to stay up for that. I'm old.
I have Baylor over Mississippi State. I have VCU over BYU as well. BYU is an interesting team because they can really score. VCU can really defend. When BYU got absolutely shut down by a really good defensive team, Houston, in the conference tournament, after they had hung 96 on Iowa State, I think BYU is one of those teams capable of a big run, but I'm going VCU with an upset, and then I've got Vandy over Randy Bennett, who I love, and St. Mary's. All right, what do you give me your 4 Sweet 16 teams?
So that's fascinating that you have Vanderbilt over St. Mary's, because I have St. Mary's in the Sweet 16. I got them taking out Bama in the round of 32. So I have St. Mary's, Wisconsin, Duke, Arizona in the Sweet 16.
I've got Duke, Oregon. So I've got Oregon upsetting Arizona, and then I've got chalk with Alabama and Wisconsin. I've got a Duke, Wisconsin Elite Eight game.
I have Arizona-Wisconsin Elite Eight game.
You've got Arizona-Wisconsin? No, you can't have Arizona-Wisconsin. Oh, yeah, you've got
Arizona-Duke. Wow. I have Arizona beating Duke.
So who do you have in the Final Four?
I have Arizona in the Final Four.
I've got Duke in the Final Four. So you're doing, so far, no one seeds for you. I've got one seed with Duke. All right, let's go to the Midwest. I'll give you my lowers over uppers. I've got one, Utah State, Ian Martinez, former Terp, taking out UCLA in the first round.
Damn it, I have one. It's Utah State. That's the only one that I have.
They're good. They're well coached. They could actually make a run. I've got Utah State then shocking Tennessee and making it to the Sweet 16 against Illinois, who beats Kentucky. And then I've got Houston beating Gonzaga, Purdue beating Clemson, and Houston-Purdue in a Sweet 16 matchup.
So this is my chalkiest. I got Houston and Clemson, and then Kentucky and Tennessee. So the only real upset, if you will, that I have is the five over the four in that one.
I've got Houston beating Illinois to get to the Final Four, so that's my second number one in the Final Four.
This is my first number one. I got Houston over Kentucky.
Yeah. All right, let's move to the West region, where Florida is the one seed and my Terps are sitting there as a four seed. Give me your lowers over hires.
So only two first in this round. One. I have Colorado State over Memphis, and then I have Arkansas over Kansas. I don't love the Arkansas thing, but I went with Calipari.
I have all higher seeded teams in the first round. I don't have one lower seeded team beating a higher seeded team. I thought about UNC Wilmington, but I backed off that. So that brings us to the second round games. Give me the teams that make it to the Sweet 16.
I have Florida and Maryland, so you'll be happy about that. And then I have St. John's and Texas Tech. So maybe this is the chalkiest because it's literally just one through four.
I have Florida against Maryland, and then I've got Missouri. Dennis Gates and the job he's done at Missouri facing Rick Pitino and St. John's. Elite Eight for you.
Florida and St. John's.
Maryland can beat anybody in this tournament, Denton. Let me just make sure that you understand this. We've done this together, what? This is year three doing this together?
Yeah, it feels like a lifetime, but year three.
I don't just pick Maryland blindly to go deep into the tournament. You know, I've probably done that before, but they've been worthy of it because of their seeding and how good they were. They're a four seed. They're not a 10 seed. They're not a 7 seed. They're a four seed. They've proven that on their best night, they are very difficult to guard. So is Florida. That could be one of the games of the second weekend. Florida and Maryland, I've got Maryland advancing to the Elite Eight, where Kevin Willard will coach against his mentor, Rick Pitino, and St. John's in the Elite Eight final in San Francisco out west. Who do you have in the Final Four?
I have Florida in the Final Four. Do it. I know you want to do it.
Oh, I'm doing it. I've got Maryland in the Final Four. I've got Maryland as a four, playing Michigan State as a two, and then two ones on the other side, Duke and Houston. You have Houston and Arizona, a one versus a four, and then you've got a one versus a two in Florida against Michigan State.
Correct.
So your final and your champion.
My final is Houston and Florida, with Houston coming out on top and Kelvin Sampson finally getting himself a championship for the Cougars.
You know, if Maryland doesn't, you know, go that far and have a chance, honestly, I would love it if Kelvin Sampson won a national championship, and I would be rooting for him. And last year, after the injury that they had and the loss that they had, I would love to see him win a national championship. Anybody that knows coaching, talks to coaches, everybody understands how good Kelvin Sampson has been over the course of his career. He got this Houston team to the Final Four in 21, and then last year, you know, just painful, where they lost, you know, their best player and they were knocked out in the Sweet 16 by Duke. I think they're going to get a chance to beat Duke in that semifinal, but I have Duke advancing to face Maryland in the national championship game. Maryland gets revenge on Michigan State in a semifinal, And that would be the closest thing they have to a rival in the Big Ten, and it's not really a rivalry. And then they would face their longtime rival that a lot of Duke fans would say, not our rival, in the championship game. And I have the Terps cutting down the nets April 7th in San Antonio.
Somewhere Coach K is pissed. He's shaking his fist at his radio.
Who do you have winning it? You've got Houston winning the whole thing.
I got Houston over Florida. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got Maryland over Duke. Of course there is some wishful thinking here. But again, like I don't think that I've predicted Maryland to win the national championship in a long, long time. I don't think in 2020 I would have predicted them to win the national championship. I may have predicted a Final Four run with that particular team. Look, to me, I think Duke's the best team in this draw. I really do. So that's the biggest stretch for me, is Maryland beating Duke, you know, assuming a healthy Cooper Flag. But I certainly think Maryland can beat Grand Canyon. I certainly think Maryland will be, they're 10.5-point favorite over Grand Canyon. They'll be a 6 or 7-point favorite over Memphis or Colorado State, minimum. Against Florida right now in a Sweet 16 game, what's the point spread?
Probably Florida 6.5.
Might be less than that by the time we get to it. Certainly not an overwhelming number, you know, and nobody's going to think that it's impossible. And then, to be honest with you, if they knock Florida off, they actually could be favored in the Elite Eight. So, enjoy the basketball, everybody. Back tomorrow.